What's going on, everyone? And good morning. Today is Monday, October 28th, a victory Monday and a true, true victory Monday. This is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, talked about this in the postgame pod with James, talked about it in a video I shot on Twitter, but talk about an actual win. I mean, that was a win where you can wake up this morning, you can turn on WIP, you can talk to your friends, and there's really nothing to complain about. The defense was great. The offense was great. Good coaching decisions by Nick Sirianni. Quality opponent. Great quarterback. It has been a long, long time since the Eagles got a win like that. A win where, truly, I don't think anyone can be upset about it. So that means today we have a lot of positive stuff to get into. It's a celebratory Monday for you guys out there. I hope you're driving into work, you're at the office, and you feel good, because it's been a while since I think Eagles fans could really, really feel good about a performance the team game, about a performance that the team gave. Sorry, wow, I really messed that part up. All right, let's dive right into it. Lot to get into. Audio from Nick Sirianni, audio from Jalen Hurts, and I want to break down that interception that really helped turn the game around. That was a play by Isaiah Rodgers that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson came down with. So first, as we always do, let's talk about what to keep an eye out for today. The Eagles are already back in Philadelphia. Some of them will be at the NovaCare on Monday. They'll have a team meeting. But outside of that, it is just the Nick Sirianni press conference at 3:15. Unlike a few weeks ago after the Browns game, and really even after that Giants game, not a ton of pressing questions for Nick to get into, but always excited to hear from him. So at 3:15, that will likely be on WIP, and you can check out Twitter, and by that I mean my Twitter, for all of the Nick Sirianni quotes or anything interesting he had to say. And then, of course, we will have it for you guys on the Tuesday morning pod as well. So 3:15, Nick Sirianni. The injury report. So the Eagles left the game fairly healthy. It was a pretty clean game in that regard. But Darius Slay does leave the game with an injury. He was limping off the field, didn't return to the game. Obviously, Isaiah Rodgers comes in and plays well once he got in. But Darius Slay would be a big loss. I know that he is someone that fans sometimes don't love, but he had a big play today. I believe it was a third down where he knocked a pass away that should have been a touchdown, that could have been a touchdown, and what was still a really close game at the time. I thought he had a good day of coverage. Obviously let up that one play down the sideline, but you know what? That was a great pass by Joe Burrow, and I thought it was a pretty good route as well. So Darius Slay would definitely be missed if he can't play, and he left with a groin injury, and we'll see if he plays this week. He was limping off the field, has obviously been dealing with a hamstring injury prior to that, but the groin injury, we'll see if it keeps him out of next week's game against the Jaguars. But outside of that, clean game for the Eagles. Lane Johnson left at one point, he came back in, and they were able to escape that game with what seems like no major injuries. All right. Let's get it. Now that we got that stuff out of the way, the schedule, the injury report, let's talk about that game. And I want to start with Jalen Hurts, because in the postgame pod that me and James did, we certainly talked about the victory as a whole, what it meant, how they played, complete win, offense played great, defense played great. But I want to give Jalen Hurts some credit, because he went into Joe Burrow's house and beat Joe Burrow. And for all of the criticism Jalen gets, look, a lot of it on this pod from me, right? Like media members, fans. He does have a tendency for beating big-time quarterbacks. He's now beaten Josh Allen. He's now beaten Patrick Mahomes. And now he's beaten Joe Burrow. Jalen Hurts finishes the day 16 of 20, 236 yards, one passing touchdown, three rushing touchdowns, and a passer rating of 132.5. Obviously, as is the case with the team most weeks, it feels like, didn't get off to the best start, had his only turnover-worthy play, I think, of the last 3 weeks when he threw the ball out to Kenny Gainwell. I thought the pass to A.J. Brown on third down in the end zone could have been a better throw, but he does have a habit and has been for the past few weeks of really improving as the game went on. I thought he made a few huge plays on third down, some with his legs. He had a really nice pass to Devontae Smith on third down. He had a nice pass to A.J. Brown over the middle for a big gain. I thought that he had some huge third down conversions as the game went on. So After the game, Jalen was asked about the fact that if it means anything more that he beat Joe Burrow, and you know, if he felt any extra juice for that. And here's what he had to say.
I know it's a team game, but is there any satisfaction that Joe Burrow is considered one of the best quarterbacks? He's always in that conversation. To go out there and outplay him as a quarterback?
That's the league. That's the league. I have standards for myself as well.
So while Jalen might never straight up admit like he wanted to, there is no chance it doesn't mean more to him to beat those guys. Jalen does an excellent job at the podium of, kind of control, you know, not showing his emotion. That's certainly something we talk about a lot. But while I don't pretend to know Jalen super well, I do know that dude is extremely competitive. Like it matters to him how he's ranked. It matters to him that he's good at football. And in order to be good at football, obviously, like you have to beat the best. And I think Jalen really feels slighted sometimes by the fact that he is not viewed as a guy that maybe matches his resume. Now, look, he's not played well for a lot of games this season. He can be better. Those things are all true. But the last 3 weeks, he's been really good, and I thought today was kind of the pinnacle of his improvement. Yes, he had the one bad turnover-worthy play to Kenny Gainwell, but outside of that, he has been better and better and better week after week since the bye week, and today was really the culmination of all of that. Joe Burrow was really good in this game, right? Early on, I think it was pretty clear Joe Burrow was outplaying Jalen Hurts, just the way Burrow was getting rid of it, picking apart the defense, but when the game finished, I think there's a strong argument Jalen outplayed Joe Burrow. It wasn't that Joe Burrow was bad by any stretch. I mean, I thought Joe Burrow played pretty well, considering that the Eagles' defense also had a good game. But Jalen made more plays down the end. That pass to Devontae Smith, obviously a great play by Devontae, but that pass to sit there, stay in the pocket, cock your arm back, throw the ball, like, it was an outstanding play by Jalen Hurts. So, you know, Jalen is a ways away, I think, from being back in the conversation of a top five quarterback. I still think that if, you know, every GM in the league got to pick between him and Joe Burrow, they would pick Joe Burrow. But that doesn't really matter. It's like I've been saying on this pod the last few weeks, or really more so the last week. Like, we can talk about if Jalen's worth the money, if it, like, is this bar, that bar, here's the barometer, he has to play for them to win in the playoffs. It doesn't really matter. The past 3 weeks, Jalen's played well enough to win the game each of the last 3 weeks. I'm not sure you could say that against the Packers. I'm not sure you could say that against the Saints. I think he deserves credit for winning those games. But I don't think he was the reason they won those games. These past 3 weeks, he's arguably been the reason they've won the game. Against the Browns, yes, they allowed that blocked field goal. But outside of that, like, didn't turn the ball over, scored enough points to win, killed the clock at the end. Against the Giants, was better than he was against the Browns. Made some big-time throws. Obviously not as involved. Saquon was clearly a better player in that game, or at least a more involved player. But Jalen still played well in that game, I thought. He was criticized for it, some of rightfully so, but he still played well. And then against the Browns, obviously he comes out and has what I think was his best game of the season. So still a ways to go, you know, but I think he is on his way to earning his name back in that discussion as a top seven-ish quarterback. I think he's probably top 10-ish right now. Consensus, I think, would have him there. But considering how he started, the fact that he's back in that conversation, I think that it's a true accomplishment. I'm excited to see what he does next week against the Jaguars, because he has really, really played better and better. I can't wait to rewatch this game, which I normally do on Monday. I think I'm going to come away more impressed than I did watching it live, because some of those plays he made late, some of the decisions he made in the pocket, his ability, which is something he struggled with this year, to stay in the pocket, keep his eyes down the field. I mean, man, if they get that Jalen Hurts the rest of the season, this team is going to be really good, and it really feels like they have some momentum going, and that starts with the quarterback. So, another funny story from Jalen on Sunday. So, at one point of the game, they had to call a timeout because Jalen had an issue with his shoe, and the timing of this is pretty ironic, because last week Jalen changed his shoes 3 times, and I asked him about it during the week. You know, big Jordan guy, like, why are you changing your shoes so much? And he said it was because he was getting his footing. So today, on Sunday, there was the issue with the shoe. He had to go over there. He ends up putting on 2 different Jordans, like one on his left and one on his right. He was asked about it, and here's that exchange.
What happened with the shoe?
I'm sorry?
What happened with the shoe?
Yeah, that was the first. I hate that we had to burn the time out on that one. I had a double knot. You know, usually when I wear a low top, Air Jordan, I got to tie them up real tight so I can have good ankle support. And I tied it up so tight, I could not take the knot off. So I had to go Jalen Two Shoes for a bit. Got some points, so that was cool. But yeah.
Did you have to cut off the laces to get a second shoe, or what?
I did have to cut off the laces, but the thing is, you know, and I talked to P about it in the back, and this is something that's small, but yet no one would think about it in terms of how much work and time and how much pride that our equipment team puts into it, G and P and the staff. Like, P was killing himself that we had to burn a timeout because of the shoe. And I'm just like, hey, man, next play. You know, it's all right, let it go. But, you know, I'll never have a shortage of shoes, to say the least. I'm just glad that we were able to make the most of it, for sure.
Always good to see lighthearted Jalen. I think, again, I'm not pretending to know Jalen. I'm sure he has a life he very much enjoys, but we don't always get to see that happy side of him. So to see him, you know, kind of smile about it, you know, Jalen Two Shoes is a great nickname. Really kind of fun moment, I thought, during the press conference. So yeah, like I said, I mean, Jalen deserves a ton of credit for what happened in that game. Like, ultimately, we can all talk about the defense, which we will. We can talk about Nick, which we always do. We can talk about the line play. The team in the city and the fan base always feels as good as they feel about the quarterback. That's just the reality. Like, if you listen to Mondays after a game, how Jalen plays is almost always how the city feels. And so for Jalen to turn in that performance, man, I can't wait to see how people react to it, because I think Eagles fans should be really, really excited about it. Okay, next up, Nick Sirianni talked after the game and was asked, you know, just about the win in general. And I thought his answer to it was super interesting. So here's what Nick Sirianni had to say about the win.
Again, just dog mentality. Games start off different ways every once in a while, and you know, no one's in a panic mode when they go down and score. I think they had some good third down conversions. I think a lot of that is the you know, Joe Burrow's a hell of a football player, and you know, Jamar Chase was able to get a lot of plays there as well, and Gesicki, and so they got good players. We knew they were going to make plays. We talked about that last night. Good stuff's going to happen today, and some bad stuff's going to happen today, and how do you respond? And it's always going to be about your response.
So this is something I echoed, or I should say, I said it actually before I heard from Nick, but I said on the postgame pod, like, they really are a mentally tough team. They are a resilient team. Like, to go through a trip to Brazil, a trip to New Orleans when they were 2-0, to, you know, lose back-to-back games to the Falcons, or not back-to-back, but to lose to the Falcons the way they did, and then to lose to the Buccaneers in the embarrassing fashion they did, to deal with the drama that they did after the Browns win. Like, they have been through a lot this year. Injuries, again, all the things I just listed, plus, like, the criticism they've been under. I thought last year when the team struggled and they were, you know, kind of took a punch, right, during that collapse, the Niners, the Cowboys, they had no counterpunch. Like, they were unable to recover from the drama they went through. And I keep remembering Nick Jeffrey Lurie saying during the owners' meetings that he didn't think the team was resilient. Well, I think they've shown resiliency during this stretch. I think they have shown that they are a team that is mentally tough. And I thought Nick choosing those words were not coincidental. I think it's something they wanted to work on this year. I like Nick saying, you know, we put everything we have into this. As much as we talk about the differences between Jalen and Nick, and this is definitely something I have said, but it's worth repeating now that things are starting to turn around. They have so much more in common than they're giving credit for. They are both obsessed with football. I would bet my life both of them go home and think about football. They watch tape. They think, like, they rewatch games, all those things. Yes, they act different on the outside, but on the inside, both their fathers were coaches. Like, they grew up around football. They have so much more in common than they're given credit for. And I think that answer kind of speaks to, like, you know, we talk about the identity of the team and people want to make that into a running thing or a passing thing or what. The identity of this team, in my opinion, is that the two people at the top of it are obsessed with football. Nick and Jalen are obsessed with football. Look, a lot of players on the team are obsessed with football. Obviously, if you're a pro, you love football. But there is a difference between how Nick and Jalen love football, in my opinion, in the way like Doug and Carson loved football. Doug and Carson love football. They were great at it, for a stretch. Nick and Jalen are obsessed with football. And I think that's what he's getting at when he said we put our everything into this. I think that Nick and Jalen all week think about the next game. And so during this stretch, when it's been ugly and they're not winning and they're, going through losing streaks, or they're, 1-2 or whatever it was, or 2-1, like, I think that probably added to the tension between their relationship. But when they win, man, these two can be special together. And it makes me think about back to those pods me and James used to have when they were, during 2022 and 10-1 in 2023. Like, the level in which Nick and Jalen win together is still at a high level, and something we will probably not see much of during my time covering the Eagles, and obviously everyone's time as fans of the Eagles. Like, when these two are really clicking, they can be really, really special together. So of course Nick was asked about Jalen, and kind of everything I just said, but like, here's what Nick had to say about why Jalen has been better since the bye week.
Jalen puts the work in. Like, that's something that doesn't get talked about enough for Jalen Hurts. The amount of time, how much he loves football, and how much time he puts into this game. And that's how you want one of your leaders on your team to be, is the time he puts into this game. And so we were able to look at some of the things that we were inefficient on, some of the things that we were good on, and he just put so much work into it. And you're a product of how you practice, and he's been I know you guys only get to see a little portion of practice, but he's been practicing his butt off. I don't know if the ball on Thursday on our long practice, I'm not sure the ball hit the ground. And so that was, it's the work. There is no secret to success, right? It's the habits, it's your habits, it's your work ethic. The same things it took to win this game is going to be the same things it takes next game. Success takes what it takes.
So I would disagree with Nick slightly. Like, I do think people talk a lot about how Jalen works hard. It is definitely something people will bring up. But again, like, that is something I think that they have in common. So Jalen wasn't asked about Nick, but Jalen has been more complimentary of Nick since the bye week. And I think that answer right there from Nick on Jalen just speaks to, like, they are much more alike than I think they're given credit for. All right. So the other clip I wanted to play for you guys, Nick Sirianni was asked by me. I'll admit, I'm not going to act like it wasn't me. So if you remember, prior to the Browns game, he walks out on the field. He's got the shaved head. Everybody flips out, right? Like, oh my God, this looks terrible. I didn't think it looked terrible, but oh my God, everybody flips out, right? They've been 3-0 since then. Since Nick shaved his head, they have not lost a game, and they've turned in three of their best performances of the season. Browns game, not so much, but you get my point. Three straight wins. I asked Nick, because Nick has joked in the past about being superstitious, like he doesn't watch field goal attempts, all those things, if he's going to, if he's going to keep it up, if he's going to keep his head shaved. And here's that exchange.
You've joked in the past about being superstitious. You're 3-0 since you shaved your head. A big deal was native.
I buzzed my head. Buzzed. All right. Shaves a lot different. Right.
Keep it going to keep it shaved?
I don't know. My wife doesn't really like it, so... Yeah.
Look, I completely get it. If the wife doesn't like the look, you gotta take that into consideration, right? But man, 3-0 since a shaved head. Like, I feel like it's a new Nick. It's a new Nick, right? The video of him out on the field, many men playing. I think it's a look he should keep for the rest of the season. We'll see if he does. It sounds like he won't. But if they go out and beat the Jags, it's going to be harder and harder to go back to having long hair. So, on the other side, we're going to get into the defensive side of the ball, a side that definitely deserves a ton of credit for that win. But first, a word from our sponsors. So I want to talk about the defense, but what I really want to get into is a sequence in the game that I think reminded me so much of a 2022 win. Like, if you remember in 2022, the wins they had, the dominating wins, the performances where you left and feel good about the team, I think there was an 8-minute sequence in this game that really, really reminded me of that Super Bowl team. So let's start with it. So it's 27-17 Eagles. There's 12:21 to play in the fourth quarter. So they have a comfortable lead, 10 points, 12 minutes to go. It's a comfortable lead, but the game is definitely still in balance. So 12 minutes to go. Joe Burrow drops back, tries to hit Ja'Marr Chase deep. Isaiah Rodgers bats it away, goes up, tries to make a play on the ball, bats it away, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson intercepts it. So first, let's hear from Isaiah Rodgers on that play and what he had to say about the play.
I tried it one-handed until I realized I couldn't, and I was like, all right, cool.
How did you know he was there?
I trust him. You know, that's one of our plays that he's supposed to get over top, and he was there.
So you didn't see him? You knew he
came. I seen him once I turned back into the vision. I seen him when I crossed my eyes, and I seen him, so I'm like, cool. I just didn't know he was right there that close. I just hoped that he was going to make that play, and he did.
So it is funny. He says he was trying to make a one-handed interception. Obviously, that didn't happen. But the wherewithal to bat the ball to Chauncey, it's a great play. I mean, it's almost like something you would see like a trick play if you were playing like NCAA football on you know, like the video game or something. It was an outstanding play by Isaiah Rodgers. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson also asked about that play. Here's what he had to say.
It's a hell of a play by Zay. Hell of a play by Zay. To be honest with you, he's a great receiver, great matchup. So I just had faith in my guy. I just knew if he wasn't going to get it, nobody was going to get it.
From your perspective, why?
So the first part of why this reminds me of a 2022 sequence for the Eagles is that team turned the ball over. That team took the ball away from the other team. We talked so much about Jalen's lack of interceptions and lack of turnovers that year, but the other reason they won the turnover battle so much is because they consistently took the ball away. They were the team that were going out and killing teams' drives on offense. They were the one giving their offense short field position. If you remember Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think it's like, what, 7 interceptions that year, something crazy like that. So a Chauncey Gardner interception in this game gives the Eagles the ball, 27-17, 12 minutes to go. At that point, the game, you feel really good about it. You feel like they're going to win. But, you know, they could turn the ball over. They could go 3 and out. The Bengals could score. Like, there is still a world where this game is in jeopardy. But after that, after the interception, the offense goes on an 8-minute drive that ends with a touchdown. So they get the ball right around 12:21, and they score the touchdown with 4:41. And at that point, they have a 34-17 lead. That is what the 2022 team used to do to other teams. How many times that year did they kill the final 8 minutes off the clock, the final 5 minutes off the clock, a 4-minute drive, like a big first down late in the game? They were so good at killing clock. Even the 2017 team, you remember in the Super Bowl, like that 4th-and-1 play to Aguilar or to Ertz gets a lot of attention. But a big part of that was they killed a ton of clock on that drive. And that is something the 2023 team struggled with. You remember all the close games that they lost last year, Seattle, New York, Arizona, like games where they had a shot to win it. I mean, they won it, but against New England, they weren't able to kill the clock. 8-minute drive so that they get it at 12:21, they score at 4:41, and they have a 17-point lead. I mean, that's huge, right? Like they go and they really extend their lead to the point where once the Bengals get the ball back, they're unable to essentially come back. And so I thought that was just a very like winning football moment by this team. And also, while Saquon was not outstanding on Sunday, he didn't have like his normal huge game. He still had over 100 yards, but he didn't have his normal huge game we've seen from him. The fact that they were able to kill the clock in part goes to him. When the Eagles signed Saquon, one of the reasons they justified giving him all that money is that he was going to be the player that would help them kill clock at the end of the game. He would be the one that would help them go out and like salt these victories away. I think that's the expression. James would correct me if he was here. That's what he did. He had a big run late. He gets down to the one. Like he was huge on that drive. So the Eagles have a long way to go to be the 2022 team, right? That team almost won the Super Bowl, and this team has a lot to achieve before they become a special team like that. But for the first time in a long time, it feels like there's that possibility. And it's not just because of hope. Like so much of the time, I think with this team, we look at the talent and go, well, they have to be a Super Bowl contender. Look at all the talent they have. Or they have to play well because look at all the talent they have. They haven't looked like a Super Bowl contender for a long time. Even last year when they were 10-1, I thought they were playing better than they were given credit for. Obviously, I was wrong. But people weren't confident in that team. I think this game today had the elements of a Super Bowl winning team. To get a turnover, to kill clock, to get the score you need to put the game out of hand, to do it on the road, to have a good performance against a good quarterback. Like, this team showed the elements of what it was in 2022 to come away with a big win. And I think that, more than anything, Jalen's performance, like, Everything combined, the most encouraged people should feel is that looks like a win from 2022. And man, oh man, has it been a long time since we've been able to say that. So I can't wait for this week, man. It's always fun to talk about the Eagles. It's especially fun when people are excited. Big game against the Jaguars coming up. They can move to 6-2, which, let me tell you, when they were 1-1 heading to New Orleans and it felt like the season was on thin ice, they have certainly righted the ship. And it's exciting for all of us because we're all happier when the Eagles win, and it's just more fun to go through this with you guys. So we will have a ton of pods for you this week. We will have Go Birds ready for you on Saturday. So get ready for a fun week. I hope everybody's enjoying their Monday. Enjoy the win. Haven't been wins like this often. So truly cherish it and get excited about what is to come. So thank you guys, everybody, for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later.